Praise God, praise God. We are not of this world. You know that? We are not of this world. We might appear for a moment in this world, but we are not of this world. Everything you see, everything you can perceive with your natural mind is temporal. It is temporal. So we are admonished not to lay our treasures here upon the earth. We are admonished rather to look unto that which is eternal. We are admonished to lay hold on the life, on the true life. Because it is obvious that men have all deviated from that real life. Praise God. The Spirit of God will come day and night, knocking on the doors of our hearts, saying, allow me to enter in, so that I'll give you rest for your souls in eternity. You will not get satisfaction in whatever you are doing out there. You will not get fulfillment. You only go from tribulation to tribulation, from sorrow to sorrow, from problem to problems, and nothing will ever function. It might look good for a moment, but right before your eyes, you see everything fading away. Time is fulfilled. The time has come when the sons of God hear the voice of the Spirit. When the sons of God begin to hear the voice of the Father telling them to return back from the darkness of this age. So this is the repent Jesus Christ went about saying in the days of his ministry. He's telling you to turn away from the vanities of this age and return back to that place God established you in the beginning. Praise God. Let us take advantage of what we hear. See, let there be a bit of soberness. Soberness, continuity, urgency, zeal in the things of God. Praise God. We who are called to God's kingdom, we are not of this world. We are dead. The moment the revelation of Christ dawns on you, you are dead. So once the revelation of Christ dawns on you, you are supposed to let go of everything and begin to focus on, retaining your true self in God's kingdom. Like Jesus Christ will say, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before this world was. If the revelation of Christ has dawned on you, you will know that Christ is who you are. The anointed one of God. The expressed image of God. The glory of God. That is what you are. If you have this revelation, the world has ended. By listening, the world has what? Ended. We are dead. We are not of this world. We are not to copy this world. We are not to be conformed to this world. We are not to be like this world. But we are to be conformed back to the original. Some days ago, I was with friends. At times you have to socialize. You just socialize, hoping that God will open a door to minister. And we went somewhere for a seminar. Seminar of couples. Very good teachings, nice teachings. How to become better couples. A better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother. They're very nice, beautiful things, But if you go back, you will discover that many of those people who attended those meetings have attended other meetings in the past. but it doesn't seem to change the situation. Praise God. It doesn't seem to change the situation. Trying to be a good man. Trying to be a nice man. It's not the point here. Because in the first place, no man can know God. No man can enter into God's kingdom. All that work is in outer darkness. That which enters into God's kingdom is Christ, the Son of God. So when you begin to, the revelation of Christ dawns on you, you let go of all those elementary things, beggarly things. Because you are not of this world. You are not male, you are not female. You don't have a physical body, natural body. You might use one for a moment, but for the sole purpose of manifesting your true self through that physical body. That is all. Praise God. We must be ready to let go of everything to enter into God's kingdom. Let go of everything. Jesus Christ said, those of you who have left all for my name's sake will inherit and what? Eternal life. Eternal life is the life of the Father. He said you shall inherit brothers, sisters, houses, lands, and mothers in hundredfold. But he didn't say you shall inherit fathers in hundredfold. He says you shall inherit eternal life. That is the life of the Father. There's only one Father. Only one God. Call no man upon the earth your Father. There's only one Father who is the one in heaven. And that is the one we live unto. So we are called to conform unto him. We are called to let go of this age and get back into that original pattern which is in the spirit, pure spirit. Praise God. We are not of this world. We are not of this world, and we must walk in the reality of these things we are hearing. If we walk in truth, it will give us escape from the many problems we are having as men. Some people are always broke. Some people always have financial problems. No matter how much blessings come to them, they never seem to find satisfaction. Some people have, you have various problems. See it, moral problems, all issues, health problems, everything around you can only be solved when you walk in the reality of what you are hearing. Praise God. If I am spiritual of Christ, I know that my belly is only for a moment. Food for the belly, belly for food. And Bible says that God will do what? Destroy it all. It's all written in the Bible. All these things will be what? Dissolved. Because in the first place, you do not have a physical body. So why become a glutton? Why become enslaved to food and material things? Why you are enslaved to money, enslaved to all these things around you? These things are supposed to be instruments you just simply use to get by for the day. We are not called to gather these things, thinking that these things have life in them. We are not. We are called rather to loosen ourselves from these things and live by the power of what? Of God. God never designed that you have bank accounts. All those things were things that came about when man lost that awareness of the life of God, the Father, the eternal life. That's when men started to think of bank accounts. When you have bank accounts, that means you are thinking of the future. You are planning how you are going to do what? Survive tomorrow. The man who is developed in the spirit, who is truly awoken, the awoken consciousness, does not need to think of tomorrow. He lives in that presence that is forever. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So we are not of this world. We are called to live strictly unto God. Hallelujah. We are dead to this world, but alive to God. through Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you listening? This is what Paul says, that we are dead to what? Sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we can be alive to God only through Christ. You have the thing here? Alive to God through Christ. So what is Christ? Christ is your spiritual self. Christ is your true identity. Christ is who you are. That is the secret of your identity hidden in this vessel, in this tabernacle. This is the secret that everything, you know, you come with many, many ways, we preach different ways. You can bring out different messages, but it will always go down to the, boil down to the same thing, which is Christ in you. The anointed of God in you. The Son of God in you. The glory of God in you. The image of God in you. That is what he boasts in. It's all within you. See, alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. We can be alive to God only when we awaken to Christ in us. Christ is not a natural being. He's not a physical being. He's not a natural being. Of course, for a moment, he can appear in this world with a body. He's not African. He's not American. He's not Canadian. We must let go of all these attachments to this world, all these attachments we've had to this world, to this outer world. Let go of it. Hallelujah. Let go of it and begin to live in life. As long as we continue as men, it's like forsaking your own grace, forsaking your own glory. Just like you are turning your back on your own blessings. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation chapter 10, when John saw this mighty angel come down from heaven, John said that he heard the angel swear by him that liveth forever and ever. That mighty angel swore by him that liveth forever, who created the heavens, the things that are daring, the earth and the things that are daring, and the sea and the things that are daring. Hallelujah. That angel that came from heaven, if you study the appearance properly, he had a rainbow over his head. Hallelujah. He was clothed in a cloud. He had pillars, his feet were like pillars of fire. And his voice was like a roar of a lion. And when he spoke, he uttered the seven thunders. Oh, hallelujah. When he came down from heaven, this mighty angel, the whole place was illumined with his presence. A strong angel, a mighty angel. Who do you think that angel is? Is this some kind of angel up there in the sky? Coming now, putting his leg on Lake Michigan and Lake Dakota? Of course not. Paul talks about angels, the mighty angels of God, being unveiled through you. The appearing of God's angels, they are unveiled through you. Enoch prophesied of the coming of God's angels. Enoch prophesied concerning the coming of what? Of God's angels. Jesus also quoted these prophecies, that the Lord cometh with his myriad of angels to judge the world, to convict the world of sin. Who are these angels? It's you and I. These are the servants of God. An angel is a servant. When the Lord appears, he appears with his angels. His angels do what? They reveal God. The angel does not reveal Trevor, because Trevor does not exist. Trevor is just an imaginary existence that lived a couple of years in the world, in this age. That Trevor does not exist. There's only the Lord that exists. So when the angels of God appear, it is God appearing. They only reveal God. You don't see any man. You don't see, what you just simply see is God appearing. Hallelujah. And it's good to understand what the Bible says. We all have the ministry to utter the seven thunders. We are the ones doing what? Uttering the what? Seven thunders, which are the deep secrets of God. The Bible says that in the days of the sounding of the seven trumpets, the mystery of God will what? Will be finished, accomplished. That means God will no longer be a mystery. Every man will understand what God is and his relationship with God. Because up to this very day, God has been a mystery among the nations. Churches are praying out there and looking out to God, something in the sky, and crying. And you know, the Muslim is praying this way, the Buddha man is praying this way. Everybody is searching for God, thinking that, you know, cooking up his own idea of what God is. But the seven thunders are sounding right now, hallelujah. And we who walk with the Lord are the ones that utter the seven thunders. We utter the mystery of the ages, hallelujah. We are the ones who stand upon the rooftops, revealing things that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. All the things that we heard in the dark, in our human comprehension, with the mind of the flesh, are being revealed today in the open places in the light, so that people will hear the truth and be saved. Hallelujah. We are the ones with these pillars, with feet like pillars of fire. We are the ones who put our feet in the sea and upon the land. And you know what we do? Do you know why those feet burn like fire? They burn up the serpent mind that is on the land and on the sea. The land and the sea talks of the places where men transgress and fell into. It talks of the low places of the earth, the abyss, the realm of the carnal, of the natural. If you look through the book of Revelations, the angels and the are always announcing to those who are upon the earth and upon the sea to repent. Because we are not meant to dwell upon the earth or upon the sea. We are meant to dwell where? In heavenly places. The Bible says that God dwells in the heavens, but he has given the earth to the sons of men. Men, are you men? No, you are sons of God. God's kingdom is in the heavens, and we dwell in heavenly places. We are seated in heavenly places where? In Christ Jesus, not upon the earth. Hallelujah. So we are the one, our ministry burns up the heads of the serpents. It burns up every lie of the devil that is upon the earth. It illumines the deep so that people can see the light and be saved. That's the work of our ministry. Hallelujah. So you see, the angel here swore by him that liveth forever, meaning that he lives by him that lives forever. He lives by the one that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and every element. He lives in relation to this one. He swears by him, meaning that he is consecrated only to him. Anywhere you go to, any word you speak, any step you make, hallelujah, everything you do has to be done in the name of what? Of the Lord. Because that is your true life. Hallelujah, praise God. That is our true life. Everything we do has to be done in the name of God. Now, God is giving us the way to escape, brethren. We must listen to these things we are hearing. They are precious truths that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. God is teaching us how we can escape the realm of death and enter into the life. Oh, hallelujah. We're not of this world. The time has come to begin to live in relation to God's kingdom. No more expecting. You are not expecting something to happen. Nothing will happen. Nobody is going to come from somewhere and prophesy to you. No man of God is coming to lay hands on you and make you become a perfect person. It will work. Your healing comes by how you hear the word of God. Your healing comes by how you receive the message of God. Your healing comes by hearing and confessing. When you hear, you now believe and know who you are, and you now confess Christ unto your salvation. Hallelujah. Your language, your tongue has to change. You have to begin to speak a new language by faith, which is what they call the heavenly language. Paul talks about tongues of men and tongues of angels. Praise God. See, the angels have their own language. And we have to learn that language. You know that? If you want to walk in the company of those mighty angels of God, which God is unveiling in this day, mighty angels. Angels who have power over the beggarly elements of this earth. They are no longer slaves to corruption. They have been liberated, but and walk in the glory and in the liberty of the Son of God. You know, people think that angels are different from sons of God. Sons of God are different from God. In the realm of the spirit, an angel can be son of God. Son of God can be angel. In the realm of the spirit, you can be everything. Jesus Christ explicitly calls them sons of the resurrection, angels of God. They are like angels, sons of the resurrection. Jesus Christ himself was like an angel. He spoke solely by the name of the Lord. He walked and lived in relation to the Father. I always do the thing that pleases him, my Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Praise God. And you see, Jesus Christ himself spoke a new language. He was speaking a new language. That's why people could not comprehend what he was talking about. He was speaking a language of the ages to come. A new language. And what is this language? Because we must learn this language. We must speak this language to enter. See, these things we are hearing are more important than you going to pray and shout all night and pray. See, what are you praying to? You think you are praying to God? Look, the only prayer you can pray to God is that thy kingdom come, that I may discover the Christ in me. That's the only prayer that God hears. Eh? Do you know that? Praise God. That is the only prayer you can pray. Thy kingdom come. Praise God. So it's good to be attentive and listen to these messages. Amen. A new language, a new tongue. Speaking in tongue. So what you speak is what is in your heart and in your mind, isn't it? Your mind expresses itself through your tongue. Your tongue simply brings forth into the natural, into this audible realm, with that which is already in your mind, isn't it? So that means he's saying that the people who walk in that new age, Jesus Christ said they shall speak with new tongues, meaning that they shall have renewed minds. They no longer have the old mind, but their minds have been what? Renewed in what? In Christ Jesus. That's why it says, be not conformed to this world, but be you renewed. Be you transformed by the renewing what? Of your minds. Your mind has to be renewed. See, because the old mode of thinking, which is actually a carnal mode of thinking, carnality, is equivalent to death in God's vocabulary. Death. The carnal mind is what? Is death. It is the language of death. It is the language of what? Of death. See, but that mind has to be changed right now by the revelation of the Spirit, so that we begin to walk according to the Spirit. Walking according to the Spirit talks about walking in relation to that which is invisible, spiritual, and eternal. See, before now you've understood things only after the natural, isn't it? I am Trevor. I was born some years ago in Africa. I have a house. I have a physical, you know, I have a wife. I have children of my own. I have a good job. I have a good name. I'm a good man. I'm a Christian. That tongue has to be changed to I live forever. I have been from eternity. Before Abraham came, I am. My house is eternal. I am married to God's kingdom. We have to loosen ourselves completely from this material carnal age. It doesn't mean you don't live in this world. See, but you must allow yourself to be loosened from the lies associated with this world. It is written that from the moment a man is born into this world, he goes about speaking lies. You see this in the book of Psalms chapter 58. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking what? Speaking lies. Another part of the Bible says that what all men are what? Liars. All men are what? Liars. All. Including Christians, including Buddha, including anything that is, you know, man. Is what? They are all liars. Now, why do they lie? Their language is a language of lies. It's a strange language. A language from the dust. Language from the grass. From the ground. See, the language of familiar spirits. They whisper out of the dust. See, it is the language of the serpent. That's the language of carnality. And that is why there is so much conflict, conflict of interest and all kind of, you know, evil we see in this world today. It's because of the tongue. The language that men speak. But the language has to be changed. See, men have become devils. Devils. James says that when you have strife, envy, competition, you know, all manner of injustice, all these things are what? Devilish. Devils. That is the is a result of the language that men speak. So, but there has to be a transformation, a change. You have to begin to speak in new tongues. The book of Proverbs chapter 19 verse 5 says, a false witness shall not go unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not what? Shall not escape. Are you listening? Yes. As long as you speak lies, that is, you continue with that mind that is not in alignment with the eternal spirit of God, you simply remain in that cage. You remain trapped in that cage. You remain trapped in that, you know, state of sin and death. In the corruptible nature, in the man of sin, in the body of sin, you remain trapped there. The only way you can find escape is written here. Some, do you think that, of course, the psalmist, the man who wrote these proverbs was probably thinking of the natural. So these are spiritual things, spiritual truths placed in the Bible for you to discern. Who is the fault witness that will not go unpunished? If you don't confess Christ, the Spirit, as your life, if you do anything that does not confess Christ, is a liar. That's a false witness. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, the message to the church in Laodicea. Jesus Christ says that what I am the true and faithful witness. I am the true and faithful witness. You are the true and faithful witness when you walk in truth, when you confess Christ as your life, when you confess the true creature of God that is in you. See it? And you go through a lot of hell, a lot of pain when you do not do this. He says that you shall not find escape when you speak lies. Praise God. When you refuse to speak the truth from God's perspective, when you begin, you refuse to speak the language of the Spirit, you speak lies. So somebody said, well, speaking in tongues, it's all about you. It's more than that. It's much, much more than that. Praise God. Somebody said, but on the day of Pentecost, They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and they spoke with different tongues. That is what the Bible says. Are you trying to change the Bible? Who are you? I'm not trying to change the Bible. I speak in tongues myself. See, but when Jesus Christ says they shall speak with new tongues, he's speaking about the language for the ages to come. The language in God's kingdom. Praise God. The moment those people were baptized in the Holy Ghost, it is symbolic. Never you think that you're going to see tongues of fire descending into you to receive the Holy Ghost today. Receive the Holy Ghost by faith and begin to speak with the language that the Holy Ghost enables you to speak. Those people spoke with tongues as they were enabled by the Spirit of God. We speak in that new language as we are enabled by the revelation light that comes from the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God teaches us what? The deep things of God. See, the Spirit of God gives us the mind of Christ. It awakens the mind of Christ in us. When you receive the Holy Ghost, it aligns you once more with the mind of God. And you begin to speak with a new tongue, which is the tongue known of God. It is the Spirit of truth. You begin to speak truth from God's perspective. They shall speak with tongues. Tongues of angels. As the tongues of fire descended into that congregation on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were actually being gathered together with the rest of the saints in heavenly places. They were gathered in one in heavenly places. Praise God. And to be a part of the commonwealth of God, you must speak that new language. You know, I'm a migrant now in Italy, in Milan. Migrating from Africa. And one of the requirements to get the citizenship of the country is that you must know how to speak the Italian language. See, you see this in other countries too. If somebody gets to America and wants to get the American passport, wants to be a citizen of America, he must conform to the laws of that society. He must learn how to speak English, isn't it? If you don't speak English, how can you call yourself an American? If you don't speak English, how can you call yourself British? If you don't speak Italian, how can you call yourself Italian? In likewise manner, to partake of God's kingdom, how can you be a member of God's kingdom when you don't speak the language of the kingdom? Now we are understanding why Jesus Christ says, those that have believed in me, those that are baptized into me, that is those who are immersed into me, into my world, into my kingdom, into God's world, into God's kingdom, speak with a new language, a new tongue. Speaking with this tongue is what will liberate you from the corruption that is in this world, from the lies associated with the flesh, with the lust of this age. It purifies you. It lifts you up from the dust. It quickens you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I can't speak about much about this, what I'm going to say right now in this message, but you notice that the wings of the cherubims, I think you've seen these things in vision several times, those angels with wings, transparent angels, so those wings that flap, it's actually the Spirit. See, the Spirit is actually the language of the Spirit. It's the message that comes out of your mouth. It quickens you as you speak the things of the Spirit. When you speak the language of the dust, when you speak the language of men, carnality, it actually reduces you, it slows you down. See, it causes you to sink further into the miry clay. But when you speak the language of the Spirit, it lifts you out of the miry clay. It's like the flapping of the wings of the cherubim. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's important we understand, practice it right now where we are, speaking this new language. It's not something for tomorrow when we die. It's not something that will happen when Jesus Christ comes. It's now. God's kingdom is now. God's kingdom is there. It's here. It's present. Hallelujah. By faith, enter into these things and begin to do what the Spirit has been indicating. An example of those who started speaking in a new tongue is Moses. Moses is an example of those who are sent spiritually into God's kingdom. Moses is the new creation man. Moses met with God on that isolated mountain. He met with the I am that I am. And I tell you, Moses, the tongue, the language of Moses changed from that moment to the moment of, to the language of what? I am. Which is him that liveth forever. And Moses became like that angel that does what? Swears by him that lives forever. His language, his speech, and everything he does is unto him that lives forever. Let our language be changed, brethren. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Sit. Don't love this world. Sit. Don't seek to be as a better man, but seek rather to rediscover the man of the Spirit, who is perfect before God, who is holy before God, who is known of God. Speak with new tongues. God bless you. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. Language. Hallelujah. Thank you for this spiritual communication today. Seven tongues are speaking, and your people are being liberated. Hallelujah. Things hidden from the foundation of the world are coming to light. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this blessed word we've heard. Hallelujah. We know that you are here to liberate us from our bondages, our self-destructive natures. You are here to deliver us from it. Our lustful natures as men, weak natures as men, you are here to liberate us by the revelation of truth in us. Hallelujah. 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 Let those high things in our life that exalt themselves against the knowledge of the Son of God in us be abolished in our minds forever. Thank you, God. Thank you, King of Glory. Amen. So, what did the Lord show you something? Can you want to share with the brethren?
Praise the Lord. As we were praying, I saw the table being set, the table clock, the fork and knife, get ready to eat. Then the second vision the Lord showed me is a waterfall from above pouring into the well, filling the well. Okay. Yeah, that was.
Amen, it. Amen. A table set, which is the Lord inviting His people to commune with Him, to fellowship with Him. Of course, we know what the commune, when we commune with the Lord on that table. Jesus Christ said, do this what? In remembrance of me. Now, what are you remembering? When he says, Jesus Christ says, do this in remembrance of me, what are you remembering? Are you remembering somebody in the sky? Saying, do this in remembrance of Christ, your life. Do this in remembrance of the Son of God in you, the Christ in you. So it's fellowshipping in the world, deep communion with the Father. Hallelujah. When the Father enters into sup with you, to fellowship with you, He simply unveils your oneness with Him. I and the Father are one. He restores your oneness with Himself. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. She also saw streams of water from above, which were filling a well. Hallelujah. Want to believe that well is us. Say, streams of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Coming to illuminate man. Coming to irrigate man. Coming to, you know, fill us up. It says that in the last days He shall pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And He shall see visions. This is, you know, He shall see visions of things to come. That some shall prophesy. God is pouring out His Spirit in abundance right now upon his people who are upon the earth, so that they can live once more. They can enter back into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. May you be blessed in all your endeavors. Amen. Amen.
Fastened down, I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night. None of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary'd said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him. Then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. 'Cause when at last it came to choices, I'd denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before him with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted in peace.